need for speed, this is the place to be.
We've got more cars than you can honk a horn at.
High tech or what?
And look at how they design cars now. It goes in here and comes out there.
When race cars come in, you gotta be prepared. I work a pit stop.
We have a monster show for you.
This one is definitely not gonna crash and burn.
Hang on for the ride.
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids.
I'm Jay, and this is PMK. Service with a smile. You don't see many gas stations offering this kind of full service anymore. And gas stations are going to be changing a lot more. New cars are already being made that run on electricity and other kinds of fuel. That's because cars are the biggest cause of air pollution. Well, speaking of pollution, let's go to a place where there's lots of noise pollution. The Speedway. Man, I'm exhausted. I'm on the track at the Jim Russell Racing School. This is where a lot of pros get their start, some as young as 15 years old. Pit stop is where the race can be lost or won. The clock doesn't stop when the car zooms in to be serviced. The key is to get the car back on the track as fast as possible. You have to adjust the wing angle. This is like an upside-down airplane wing. The air traveling around this pushes the car down instead of up, making it hug the road better in the turns. And if it's a long race, you have to refuel the car. And there's also the tires, which wear down. They have to be changed because the car needs good grip to go fast in the curves. Tires are what I'm prepping for and how to change them. And once I learn my job, they're gonna put me to the test.
Okay, Jay, let me show you how we change the tires. First, we have just a single lock nuts to take off, not like a normal car. And then we put the jack underneath to lift the car.
Is it heavy? Is it hard to do that? Or?
No. You can do that. The next try is going to be you. Then we just put the lock nuts back on. Then we lower the jack and take the tire and the air gun out of the way. And that's it. And the car can go. Take it on and then pull the trigger. There we go. Take the wheel. See the knuckle there? It has to get into the hole there.
Okay.
Lift it a bit. Okay. Come on, bring it up. Let's go. Hey, we're losing time here.
Okay, well, you lost the race.
Come on, go. Now, switch to here.
Nice shooting, partner.
Yeah. Okay, now the gun over there. Jack goes down. Out of the way.
Get out of here! Let me tell you, put on a tire.
Test, designers learn how to make cars safer. It used to be that when a car crashed, it practically disintegrated, and the people inside were often killed. Today, car skeletons are specially designed to absorb the impact of a crash and protect the passengers.
please. Do not try this at home. Not that. This. If you've ever put a firecracker under an empty tin can, you know what happens. The can moves up. It moves up because there is a transfer of chemical energy, the firecracker exploding, into mechanical energy, the can moving. If Nyx would continue to do this, the can would keep moving up and down. If we had a few more Nyxes doing this, and we added a crank to the top of the can, we could use this mechanical energy to rotate a shaft. This is how a car's engine works. Only rather than Nyx and firecrackers, a spark plug ignites air and gasoline, causing an explosion, which makes the pistons in the engine move up and down, which turns the crankshaft, which makes the wheel spin, and makes the car go.
Why do seatbelts save lives? Because it's not just the car that's going fast, you're moving with it. If the car hits something and stops suddenly, your body keeps going at the same speed, unless you're wearing a seatbelt. Your chances of being killed in an accident are reduced almost by half if you wear a seatbelt. Don't be a dummy. Buckle up.
You know, Alicia, you've serviced every car that's come in here. You can take a break and I'll do the next one, okay?
Okay, thanks. Actually, getting kind of tired.
I guess you'll need these. No thanks. I'm no good at washing windows. I'd rather just dry this baby. Watch this. It's gonna drive right over me. It's gonna crush me.
That's kid stuff. Just watch. Monster trucks. The biggest, meanest, and most powerful pickup trucks you'll ever see. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, home to Bigfoot. It's the tallest, longest, and the heaviest pickup truck in the world. Bob Chandler's garage, where he built the very first Bigfoot almost 20 years ago, and he's still building them.
Hey, Alicia.
Except today, there's a lot more high tech that goes into making a monster truck, right, Bob?
That's right, Alicia.
It's designed on a computer, and they don't use the steel body of a pickup truck or its solid steel chassis anymore. They make the body out of fiberglass and attach it to these tubular chassis, which are hollow inside. That makes the truck lighter, so it'll go faster in a race. Add to that the special shocks, the huge tires, they're normally used on farm equipment, and you've got a current model, state-of-the-art monster truck. But to race these monsters, you need a monster motor to match. These engines turn 1,400 to 1,600 horsepower. That's 10 times more powerful than the average family car. And did these guys ever guzzle gas? When a monster truck burns in just one run down the racetrack, it will take your family car an hour and a half to burn cruising down the highway. Since these are show trucks, they're too big to travel on the highway, so they're transported from one event to another in these closed trailers and in open ones like these. The first thing to do, take the ramps down, take the tie downs off, back off the pickup from the trailer, unload the tires with the boom, jack up the truck at the front end, put on the monster tires, and do the same in the rear.
Okay, so I'm just gonna step down on this pedal and pull to number one.
Number one is we're gonna take off.
To see what it feels like to drive these, they let me get behind the wheel in this parking lot.
I say we jam these cars.
Actually, they wouldn't let me crush any of the cars. It takes a lot of training.
Now we're ready to crush some cars!
But they would let me experience it from the passenger seat.
And to end my day, these guys brought out the biggest monster truck in the world, and they gave me a ride back to my hotel.
Wait for all those cars at the bottom. They're so high up. I feel like I'm in a parade. It's like being on a float.
If you don't like our driving, get out of the way!
Don't make a deal till you take the wheel of the great big 41 Ford.
Unlike today, cars in the 40s were big and roomy.
And this year's big Ford is the biggest step forward in all Ford history.
Big was beautiful, even the trunk. Backseat drivers had plenty of room.
I want a Corvette.
I thought you would.
In the 50s, sleek fins and sharp edges gave cars a flashier look. Car designs change with the times, just like fashion. Ooh, so soft.
This is how engineers used to design cars. And this is how they design them today. Stereolithography, or SL, is like having a three-dimensional printer. The printer takes a computer drawing and turns it into a solid object. Here's how to do it. First, create your model on a computer. The computer divides your design into very thin slices. Now move over to that special printer, which is actually a vat full of liquid. The liquid hardens when it's exposed to light, so an ultraviolet laser beam scans over the surface, carving out the model, one slice at a time. Layer by layer, the model takes shape. When the process is finally done, your model magically appears. Ta-da! Like a rabbit pulled out of a hat.
The reason this car won't start is not because it's out of gas. It's because it's out of vegetable oil. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Charlie.
Alicia.
Hi, Charlie.
Lucky for me, I've already done my grocery shopping, huh? I mean, who would have thought you could actually buy gas at a supermarket? But you can. Every day, they have been using vegetable oil as fuel in Japan and in Europe, and transit buses in some cities run on it. You see, if we just poured the vegetable oil into the tank, the car would go. But after a couple of months, it would begin to break down because the oil would clog up the fuel injector. That's why we need to add two essential ingredients to the vegetable oil to make the car run smoothly. Now, we need to wear these during the experiment to protect our eyes and the gloves to protect our skin because one of these ingredients can burn. This is not something to try at home. You need adult supervision. Okay, what I need you to do, Jay, is mix these two chemicals together. Okay, now add the mixture to the vegetable oil. Alicia, can you give us a hand?
Yep, coming.
No? Okay, great. Now take the entire contents and pour it into the blender. Now you blend this for 40 minutes. Now once it settles for 12 hours, what you get is this. Now the stuff around the bottom here is called glycerin. It's the same stuff they use in toothpaste or cough syrup to make it thick. And that's what clogs everything up.
So we want to keep the top part.
Right, and just get rid of the bottom part.
Okay.
You have an alternative fuel, vegetable oil without the artery-clogging glycerin. It's called biodiesel, and it'll work in any vehicle with a diesel engine. Okay, guys, pour it in. It burns cleaner than gasoline or diesel. And you don't get that black stuff that's in the smoke that a diesel engine gives off, or that really awful smell. Hey, guys, what does this smell like to you?
French fries.
That's right, everybody says that. Cars and trucks cause most of our air pollution. That's why new and improved ways of powering our vehicles are becoming more popular. You know, just the thought of French fries is making me very, very hungry.
This is not the set of a science fiction movie. these are solar-powered cars trying to qualify for Sun Race 97, the largest North American solar race. And this is a solar car close-up. Mechanical and electrical engineering students at McGill University in Montreal designed it. They call this car Northern Sun. The engineering team leader, Nick, is pretty pale for someone who drives a solar car. That's because so far, Nick and his team have spent about 30,000 hours inside working on Northern Sun. And believe it or not, they're still not finished.
Car just got to the thing.
They're always trying to make their car lighter, so they continually rebuild the frame using the latest and lightest material available. And they want the frame to be wind-resistant, so they test it in a wind tunnel. They do all this to try to make the car go faster. That's the problem with solar cars. They're slow and not exactly built for the whole family. See these tiny solar cells? Each one gets electrically charged when the sunlight hits it. But they haven't come up with solar cells that are able to produce a strong electrical charge. That's why a car needs so many cells to make it go. It has to be so long and flat, the driver practically lies down in it. Even though a solar car needs light to work, you can still drive it at night. That's because it has batteries that store the sun's power. Lots of batteries. In fact, batteries make up 1/3 of the weight of a solar car. Even during the day, you have to be careful not to drive too fast. You don't want to run out of battery power faster than the solar cells can charge them up.
Look, no hands. When you learn to drive, they teach you to keep both hands on the steering wheel at all times. So what's going on here? They're called smart cars because they drive themselves. The cars stay on the road because they're equipped with magnetic sensors. These sensors pick up signals from magnetic pegs which have been installed in the road. The cars have also got a camera to track the roadway and radar to keep them from crashing into one another. The smart highway promises to reduce accidents, traffic jams, and let drivers keep their cool by doing something relaxing, like reading.
Welcome to the world of dragster racing. With speeds of over 300 miles per hour, these are pretty well the fastest cars on Earth. An important part of drag racing happens before the race even begins. Race officials inspect every single car and driver. It's really important because at these incredibly fast speeds, if something major went wrong, well, disaster could be the result. A dragster is made to go fast. First, the engine. It's huge and weighs a lot. That's why the car is so long in the front. It's to balance the weight of the engine in the back. The engines are always behind the driver, so that if they explode during a race, the driver has more of a chance of escaping unhurt. Another key speed feature, it's really low to the ground. That's because they want as little air as possible to get under the car. Otherwise, at top speed, it could become an airborne missile. If you think this is a sport only macho men enjoy, you're wrong. Meet Katie Barber from Hinesburg, Vermont. Katie just turned 15 and has gasoline running through her veins.
Well, you look like you're all ready to go. I just have a question. What possessed you to choose drag racing as a hobby?
My father's been racing quite a while, and I saw him racing and decided I'd like to try it.
Have you ever raced your dad or anyone like that?
No, I'm a junior dragster. It means that I go slower than they do.
They go faster?
A lot faster.
Well, I think you should show them anyways.
All right.
Before any car can race the quarter-mile track, it's very important to warm up tires. That's done by spinning the rear tires in water. It's called a burnout. It gives the cars better traction during the race, and it keeps track officials busy. Very busy. A drag race is an acceleration contest from a standing start between two cars. Now, the concept of a race is actually very simple. The losing driver is eliminated while the winner keeps on progressing. The last car at the end of the race is the winner.
just like to say congratulations on behalf of everyone.
Thank you very much.
You did very well today.
This is what the first automobile assembly line looked like. Everything had to be done by hand. Later, machines did more of the work. It may not look too speedy, but every 93 minutes, a new Ford car came off the line.
Okay, raise it!
Going up!
We're out of gas. That's all the time we have. But don't forget to tune in for another show.
Is that as high as it goes?
Yeah. Say goodbye, Jay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Jay.
Alicia?